TalkZone.com.
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Good afternoon, Illini Nation. Boz and Mr. G, Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. We've got a jam-packed show today. Give us a call, 888-463-6748. Email at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com. First caller, first emailer will win a gift certificate to Lou Malnati's and Wildfire Steaks, Chops, and Seafood. Also, this portion of the show brought to us by RizzaCars.com. Joe Rizza Auto Dealerships.
Tell him Mr. G sent you.
Tell him Mr. G sent you. Mr. G, do you believe it's December 1st already? Happy belated Thanksgiving. I'm sure you led your team to victory in your Turkey Bowl game.
Actually, the college kids beat a team comprised of high school kids and old men by a score of 8 touchdowns to 6.
And
I was the losing quarterback.
And how were your indifference teams?
You know, we don't have kickoffs or punts, so by and large, neutral.
And tackling was okay?
Tackling was not allowed by the rules, although some people didn't pay attention to the rules.
I don't want to ask who that might have been. We are going to put football on the back burner today until 1 o'clock when we will be joined by Lauren Tate, longtime columnist of the Champaign News Gazette. And Lauren was also in Padre Island, South Padre Island. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Padre Island sounds like something out of a James Bond movie.
Yeah, well, who knows? There weren't that many people in the stands, it looked like, so maybe they were out at the movies or something down there.
I've had more people at our indoor half court at our house than were at the South Padre gym.
How do those places make money?
Very expensive popcorn.
Right. Tell me about it. 12:20, we hope to be joined by Cliff Paul, our friend, Brandon's dad. High school hoops got underway this week in en masse, games all over the place.
Boz has already been to 15 games. I get my reports from him, and needless to say, he's very thorough in his analysis of high school sporting events.
It's difficult to get to them all. I follow them in the papers. I try to get to some of them. Brandon Paul and his Warren team opened up with three other teams at Waukegan, Bartlett, and Fremd. Waukegan ended up going 3-0, beating Warren Saturday night by about 13, 15 points. Brandon's dad, Cliff, will hopefully give us a call in about 15, 20 minutes to tell us about the weekend at Waukegan, not only about Brandon and how his team got started, but we'll also get a first-hand report, which I think we're positive on Jeremy's performance, both stat-wise and demeanor, leadership, maturity. Some good things coming out of Waukegan this past weekend.
By the way, I've always said I had no doubts about Jeremy's ability or his temperament. I have known the kid since he's 13, 14 years old. Great kid. He's sometimes been in the wrong situation, but not even in a way that reflects poorly on his character. Just he and a coach didn't get along. But by and large, I can tell you that he's affable, he's respectful, and I've never had any doubts about his talent.
Well, last year was the coach's first year, and I think they've buried whatever hatchet needed to be buried. I read a quote that sounds like everyone's on the same page up there. And look for them maybe to make some noise and be in contention around state tournament time. 12:30, we're going to be joined by Tim Beret, who is play-by-player or analyst. I forgot which one, but it doesn't matter. He knows Clemson basketball better than any of us, so he'll come on.
His son and daughters, Green and Red, will be on as well.
Yes, and of course, the big game tomorrow in Champaign of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Have we ever won? What's our record?
0-9 is the Big Ten record.
Well, tomorrow we're going to break the ice. We have a home game, although it's going to be a tough game. It's not a gimme. Clemson's kind of, from what I've been researching, and Tim will help confirm, very similar team as ours, but I think hopefully the home court advantage, and hopefully it will be an advantage, and we'll fill the house again, that the team has made believer of the fans will get us over the hump against Clemson tomorrow. But it's not a gimme by any means.
You know, it's interesting, as I watched the tournament this week in South Padre, how much more physically strong and mature some of the other kids on the other teams look than our team. You know, our front court in particular looks really weak compared to front court players on other teams in terms of strength. And even Meacham and McCamey, the only guy who really looks physically able to muscle up with these guys is Frazier, and maybe Keller coming off the bench as well.
Yeah, and Keller's not getting quite as many minutes as we would have thought.
Somebody said that they think Keller's only 6'4". Have you heard that at all?
It could be. I don't think he's certainly more than 6'6". You know, in 2 years, other teams will be saying that about us, about Tisdale and about Semrau. And about, Keller won't be here in 2 years, but Mike Davis. And right now, we fight, we scrap, so guys look better, you know, in the Dago T-type T-shirts than us. They're young kids. They've got some skill, we saw over the weekend.
I mean, if you looked at Kent State,
we've been rebounding fine.
In Mincy and Singletary. And who was the really good player? Harris was his name? Who was their really
number
good player?
Number five, the guy.
Fisher. Yeah. So they had Fisher, Mincy, and Singletary. Those kids all looked like they're in the weight room a lot more than our guards look like they're there.
Well, now you're going back to our guards. I was going to say our forwards are underclassmen, and maybe those Kent State guys were upperclassmen. It takes time, and there's a fine line, I think, just like coaches have to get used to players, trainers, every kid is different. They all can't be on the same weightlifting program, so they have to work together and find what's right for each kid.
Who's the basketball team's strength coach? Do you know?
No, I don't have his name.
And you know, is it a program that people are happy with? Are we getting the most out of our strength training program? Are these kids where they should be physically at the age they are at right now?
Well, we'll have to do a little more research on that. But what I do know is that you could be on the same program as I, and for a variety of reasons, when we're done with the program, I might be able to jump higher than you, and you might be able to run faster, or vice versa, whatever. It's a very individualized thing that I have faith in whoever's running our program, that our guys will come around. And for basketball players, they don't have to be bodybuilders. I mean, you want some finesse there and quickness and shooting touch. And let's talk about the games. Tisdale.
Don't you want to talk about Herb's article regarding our late, dear, departed dead coach, Bill Self?
Not really. I mean, I love Herb, and it was a nice article, and I saw on the chat board some guy wrote in and said, you know, what the heck do we need to revisit Bill Self? And in a way, he's right, but, you know, Herb and Self are friends, and Self has a book coming out, so Herb is helping him promote it a little. But there's some interesting stuff there in terms of self-leveraging and how Gunther handled it and you know, Arkansas before Kansas.
I mean, that was pretty much an open secret regarding the Arkansas leverage, and that Arkansas came calling and that Self used it with Gunther. Gunther does not take kindly to that sort of thing, and to me it was pretty clear that if it was about money, Gunther was going to send him packing.
You know, I told you, I tell anybody when the subject comes up, I mean, you know, Self was a new kind of kid on the block. He was a decent coach and a very good recruiter, but from day one, he never, in any of the press conferences, whatever, he never referred to us as us or we. It was always Illinois, and I wasn't comfortable with that.
Did they tuck in their shirts, though, Boz?
Well, yeah, in basketball, you're required to. The refs make sure of that. And I think next year, you know, looking, and again, you're going back to football. Let's table that till after 1 o'clock because as long as you brought it up, I'm going to expound on it a little more. But let's get back to basketball. The team is holding the opponents to 35-37% shooting. So Coach Bruce has them playing defense the way he wants. And if you don't play it, you're not going to be on the court. And offensively, even though one of the games was really, the Kent State game was pretty low scoring and not too pretty, I saw a lot of good things. I saw a lot of motion and movement that we didn't see last year. And I even saw guys cutting to the basket off the motion and receiving passes and for easy dunks and layups, which was very, very pretty.
Now, I think a lot of this is a product of the teams that we played against in Tulsa and Kent State and the kind of defense and the pace of play that they play at, but it's still a little bit disconcerting to only average 58.5 points a game with one of the games going into overtime.
Well, the other thing is the motion offense. It takes a long time to learn. Even D. Darren Luther and those guys, it took them a year to learn. And so it seems like now we're just coming around. It's starting to click a little more. And easier shots will open up and more points will be scored and the
Cat got your tongue, Boz?
Yeah.
No, I
listen, as long as we have one more point than the other team at the end of the game, I'm happy.
You may be happy, but I think that part of recruiting and part of attendance is creating a brand, and part of branding is playing an entertaining style of basketball and a winning style of basketball and meshing those two concepts together. And if you can't, all you do is win and you play ugly basketball. You know, Princeton doesn't draw a lot of fans, but they win a lot.
I don't disagree with you there, but I don't. We've been a lot uglier in the past year or so. We're moving the ball. We're pushing it when we get rebounds. You know, part of this is our defense is so good that the other teams are taking the whole shot clock to get their shots off. What do you think about that?
Well, I do like our defense. I think that, you know, if you want to play for Bruce, you've got to play solid D. I thought it was interesting, by the way, that McCammy was out of the game at the end of the game against Kent State and
Brock.
McCammy was out of the game.
He put Brock in to play defense.
Right, put Brock in to play defense, which is incredible.
Interesting in itself.
That Brock is our guy with, you know, the EQ and the go-to effort on defense. To me, sometimes Brock is a mistake waiting to happen. But then when we got the ball back after either a miss or a missed free throw, he did not call a timeout and put McCammy back in the game, and we played the last possession without McCammy on the floor and ended up with about an 18-footer from Tisdale. It was a wide-open look, and he almost hit it. Bruce's comments after the game were that he wished that Tisdale would have moved into about 12 to 15 feet, probably could have gotten the same shot off from 12 to 15 foot, more in his comfort zone, and did not have to take that shot at 18 feet. But how about the strategy and not calling a timeout, not bringing McCammy back in the game? What does that say about McCammy, and what does that say about Bruce's confidence level in a guy who we thought was the guy who we wanted the ball in his hands at the end of games?
Well, a lot of, I don't know if that's an indictment on McCammy this early in the year. A lot of times you just want to let them keep playing no matter who's on the bench or who's in the game and see if they can work it out, you know, and save the timeout. As it turns out, Brock almost got a tip-in at the buzzer to win the game.
But that's not the point. Brock probably was fouled. They weren't going to call it there. It was fouled at the end of the game. The point is that all year long and going into this year, we've been saying that really the guy who you wanted the ball in his hands at the end of a shot clock, at the end of a possession, the guy who could break you down when the offense failed was McCamey. And guess what? McCamey was not in the game at the end of the game.
You know, who decided that, other than if you're the coach of Michael Jordan, that the ball has to be in one guy's hands to stand there and milk the clock down? Why can't you run your offense and just take the last shot, you know, with 3 seconds to go or 5 seconds if you want to get a rebound? You know, Tisdale took the same shot the next night and made it. Well, and he took several last year upon design. You know, he's evidently going to be one of the guys.
What every coach or basketball knowledgeable person will tell you from a fifth grader on is that every offense breaks down from time to time. And when an offense breaks down, you better have somebody on the court who can create their own shot. And I don't care if it's the Chicago Bulls and the triangle offense or the Lakers and Kobe Bryant. The best teams in the league have a player that when things go wrong and offenses will not always work, there's somebody with the ball in their hands that can make a play at the end of a possession. Darren Williams was the guy who did it for us. It wasn't D. Brown. It wasn't necessarily Luther Head. It was Darren. That was the guy we wanted the ball in the hands of at the end of a possession. And if you look at the great teams have players who can create when an offense breaks down.
I won't disagree with you there, but don't talk to me about the Bulls, because the next time Ben Gordon makes one of those will be the first time if he doesn't dribble it off his ear or ankle.
Who said that Ben Gordon can create a shot for himself?
Well, why does he have the ball then all the time when the clock is ticking down?
You know, you'll have to ask Mr. Paxson that question. It's beyond.
McCamey will, you know, he's off to a slow start. You can't give up on him. I don't think Bruce is. I'm not. He'll be fine.
By the way, Bruce's explanation was that he didn't want Kent State to be able to use that timeout to set up a defense. He'd rather go at them when they were a little bit off balance, try to get a good shot without them being able to strategize and break down whatever offensive sets we may run, and that was his rationale.
All right, so there's nothing wrong with that. As long as he had rationale, you could agree or disagree.
In what language is nothing a word?
Oh, don't say that. My folks will probably kill me if they're listening. And
I mean,
I'm sure
is that French?
Did I say
Hebrew?
That?
Is that a cereal?
As long as Bruce had an answer, right or wrong, agree or disagree, I'm fine with it. And I'm fine with Tisdale at 7-1, 7-2 with his hands out.
As long as Bruce could get a shot off at any time. As long as Bruce had an answer, you're fine with it. So if somebody asked Bruce if the world was flat and he said yes, you'd be fine with it because Bruce had an answer.
I would disagree. No, my point is there a lot of times coaches will say they won't have an answer. They'll be hung up by the moment. At least he was thinking, and he had a reason not to call a timeout.
So what you're saying is that he had a reasonable answer that you were okay with.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Give us a call at 888-463-6748. Email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. And I got to throw it back to Mr. G because he's upset and give me a dirty look that I just cut in. He was about to say something.
No, I wasn't about to say anything anyways, other than I really want to give away a Melnati's or Wildfire gift certificate today. Again, email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com or call us in the next 5 minutes at 888-463-6748, and I'll give you a Wildfire and Melnati's gift certificate. Again, that's 888-463-6748.
Are you going to go eat with him, too?
I wouldn't subject any of our listeners to having to spend an hour and a half with me at a restaurant and talk Illini sports.
By the way, I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming there's still some tickets available for tomorrow night's game against Clemson.
Why are you making that assumption?
Well, because I don't... look it up, then.
How many tickets were available, and when were they available?
If you want to go to the Illini Clemson game, go on fightingillini.com, and if there aren't tickets there, I'm sure you can find some outside the assembly hall tomorrow night, or call your nearest ticket broker, like I would call my friend Al Gotthelf at 773-467-7000. Just Great Tickets in Chicago. Al also happens to have a couple for Saturday at the United Center
Georgia. Is he a paying sponsor?
He will be after today.
And
that
by
was
the way,
our deal.
Boz also wants to give the name of a bookie, too.
No, I don't do that stuff.
Right,
I don't
right.
understand that
Listen,
stuff.
You're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. You can email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com or call us at 888-463-6748. Again, that's 888-463-6748. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find a location nearest you.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com.
You've connected with a worldwide network of millions. You're on TalkZone.com.
Together we can do great things.
Internet Talk Radio. And now, let's get back in the game for more Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Boz and Mr. G.
You are back in the game, Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. This first Monday, the first day of December 2008. Talking Illini on TalkZone.com, and as we mentioned at the top of the show, the high school season got underway this week with a lot of action and Thanksgiving tournaments, and we're going to bring in now to the show our good friend Cliff Paul, one of Buffalo Grove's finest. Cliff, of course, is the father of Illini recruit Brandon Paul. Cliff, how are you today?
Outstanding, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, Cliff. Nice to hear your voice.
We're doing great. Warren started out. They played Frem, Bartlett, and Waukegan in a little tournament up in Waukegan this weekend. First game was Wednesday night, I believe, against Frem. Tell us a little bit about that game. Warren came out on top, right, Cliff?
Yes, they did. I can't remember how much we won by, but I think even though we won that game and we won it soundly, I think we started out slowly. Brandon ended up with 29 points, and he also had 4 really nice dunks in the game. And that game was kind of special for everyone because it was the first time that his grandfather, my father-in-law, was able to come out and see him play. So
terrific.
Where does your father-in-law live?
He lives in, he's currently living with us, but he's from Hammond, Indiana. So he's up visiting with us for a couple months.
So what were his impressions of the game?
He he'd tell us stories about how he played, 50, 60 years ago. So the game has changed, obviously. You don't have kids flying around dunking like Brandon was. And he was very happy with it, very impressed with what Brandon could do and what the team did out there.
Oh, that must have been a great night for him. Cliff, I read over the weekend, the article listed a lot of the seniors in high school that have committed to Big Ten schools and projected them already, you know, best freshman rebounder, best freshman scorer, et cetera. And Brandon was on the list as the best freshman defender, which I'm sure makes Coach Weber happy, and it made me happy too, because I think one of the better parts of his game right now is both on the ball defending and also being able to sag off and fill the passing lanes. And I would imagine a couple of those dunks might have come on some interceptions and length of the court drives and dunks. How did that occur?
It absolutely happened that way. A couple times he stole the ball. And on one particular steal, the momentum took him. He did kind of a angle dunk where he came in sideways, and it brought him, it swung his body almost all the way to the left, and then he hung on to the rim, because if he let go, the guy came right underneath him, he would have, you know, he would have fell on his back. So he hung on to the rim and, you know, swung back forward, and they called a technical on him. And I thought, wow, that was a little quick on the whistle, but I'm glad that he did what he needed to do to protect himself.
Yeah, Mr. G, I don't know if you've seen Brandon yet in person, but I think we're going to have to do something to keep him away from Coach Zook, because he could be a terrific safety in football, the way he anticipates the passing lanes and intercepts balls, and, of course, his size and strength. But, you know, that's a thing of beauty when he does that. The next night, I think you probably played Bartlett then on Friday night, right, Cliff?
Yes, yes.
And you guys, Warren won that game, correct?
Yes, they did.
And yeah. Now, do they run a motion offense or a different type of offense?
They do run a motion offense. Sometimes, I think all the games this weekend, I think they started a little slow. I think the team would agree that they didn't come right out and set the pace that they wanted, you know, to have until, you know, they got into the game later. I just felt that they won those two games soundly, but they kept Bartlett and Fremden in the game for at least a half, and then, you know, I thought, you know, if you guys come out a little faster, if you do that against Zion, we're going to be in trouble. So we're hoping that Brandon and the rest of the team comes out and sets the tone immediately for their future game.
Right. Of course, Zion is this Wednesday night, and we'll get to that in a moment. Give us an idea of Brandon's teammates, the height. Last year, he was one of the tallest guys and playing a lot of forward and baseline. And, of course, you know, he won't be doing that when he gets to U of I. And I read where Saturday night and probably the other games, too, he actually jumped center. Does he have some help with some other big guys to play down low?
Yes, he does. Poliquin. And we've got this junior, Matt. His last name escapes me right now. I should have had it in front of me. But they've got two forwards that are 6'4" each. Poliquin and Greg Kemp. I'm sorry, Jeff Kemp are playing forward. And you've got some juniors coming off the bench with some height. So I wish they had. And Matt, I didn't think Matt is 6'8". So he's gonna, and once all those guys start to mesh and start playing well in the paint, it's gonna be a tremendous help for Brandon, and he'll be able to drive the ball and, you know, dump it off to these guys, and they'll be right there, you know.
Let's talk about Waukegan for a second. I know Brandon was not matched up head to head with Jeremy, but Nickerson, the kid who he played against, is a real talent and probably will play D1 ball next year.
He is. He has a ride
from to where
to someplace Fairfield.
Fairfield. But Nickerson is a very nice player, and Brandon did an excellent job, shut him down to 9 points. How did you see that matchup, and did that take a lot of energy out of your son in terms of what he was able to do then on the offensive end?
I think it did, but you know what else took a lot of energy out was the double and triple teams that he was facing. Most of the game he was being double teamed, and sometimes triple teamed. It was funny. So that took a lot of energy, but yeah, he did shut Colin down. I mean, Colin scored 31 points, I believe, two nights before.
And what, did he have 9 points in that game?
He had 9 points in that game. And, you know, I don't know if you know, but Brandon and Colin played together over the summer.
Right, I was just going to mention that.
And how about Jeremy and your son? Do they have a nice relationship? It seemed like they were very competitive the other night, and there was not a lot of love shown. They were just playing basketball, and both of them wanted to beat each other's brains in.
I think that they are just competitive. They have a great relationship. You know, we've traveled, obviously, with Jeremy to the LeBron James camp and some different things that we did over the summertime. And, you know, they have a great relationship, but they are extremely competitive. And I think once the game started, it was all business for both of them.
And when they play together, how do they look when they play together?
You know, I've only seen them a couple times play together. I think a little at the LeBron James camp, and maybe before at a Dickie Simpkins camp. I didn't really get a good idea how they're going to work out together, but I think they definitely complement each other. Both of them being ball handlers, very quick. You know, they attack the basket, so that's going to be something to see here in a couple years.
Your son said his game reminds him of Dwayne Wade's game, and that's the game he tries to model himself after, and I really see the comparisons. I think from Jeremy's perspective, I see a little Tracy McGrady in him.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, yes.
Cliff, you mentioned Zion Benton, of course. That's your next game Wednesday, a conference game, so early in the season, and another AAU teammate of Brandon's, Lenzel Smith, and the Yarborough kid as well. That's going to be a barn burner, won't it?
Yes, it will. It'll be a packed house and a very competitive game. I think that Warren will be up for that game, more so than even the games that they played this weekend, so I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Speaking of packed house, I'm going to try to make it up there, and I'm hoping you're going to save me a seat in the Paul Skybox at Warren there. And we want to thank you for coming on with us. We've got another guest we're going to be talking about tomorrow night's Illini Clemson game. We'll stay in touch with you and Linda throughout the season, Cliff, and I hope to see you Wednesday night.
Oh, I hope to see you too, and thanks for having me on.
Terrific. Take care.
All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a call right now. We've got Brian calling from, I don't know, Brian, where are you calling from?
Nice, guys.
Arlington Heights. It's a wonderful town.
Yes, I'm a regular listener, first-time caller, and in lieu of tomorrow night's game against Clemson, I was just wondering what you guys thought of our chances this year to win the challenge, Big Ten ACC. We have not won it yet since its inception in 1999.
We have no chance of winning it.
No
chance. Less than a 10% chance of winning the
I don't even know the other matchups. Do you have that in front of you?
I don't have them in front of me. I saw some of them. It's Duke and Purdue and Michigan State. Is that North Carolina?
Yes,
North Carolina will absolutely destroy them. You've got Ohio State going down to Miami. Miami's a top 25 team. Very unlikely we'll win that game. We have no chance. No chance. Any, you know, we're delusional if we think that that this is going to end well.
It, you know, this whole thing, real to me, is not a big deal. I just worry about our team, and
it's not a big deal because we don't have a chance of winning.
Well,
if we were competitive, you would be more interested in what was going on.
And that the Big Ten wins, you know, five games or whatever. I watch the games. Whoever wins.
Where's your pride? Where's your love for your conference, for your institutions? You know, I'm tired of being trampled on by the ACC. These are schools that were built on tobacco money. There's blood money that built these institutions. Virginia was founded by Thomas Jefferson.
I heard that once.
Who died with 200 slaves that he owned. These are not schools that are Midwestern ethics and qualities. The schools in the Midwest were founded by people who believed in equality, by people who cared about the rights of the common man. They weren't elitist institutions. We're playing against the ACC school. There's only one school that fought for the union in the entire ACC, that being Maryland, well, now Boston College. But, again, we need to take this more seriously. We need to get competitive, and this is war.
I didn't say I wouldn't root for him. I just don't lose sleep over it. Brian, what do you think?
Well,
gone. Oh, no, you're still there? Okay, so has the Big Ten got a chance? Break down the games quickly. We got a guest from Clemson holding, but go through the games and tell us who's going to win.
All right, we got Wisconsin at Virginia Tech.
Wisconsin can win that, can't they?
At Virginia Tech, I don't think so.
Brian, what do you think?
I'd like to think that Wisconsin can pull that one off.
Okay, let's keep a record of this, and if he does well, maybe we'll give him a male natties or something.
Sure. Then for tomorrow night games, we've got Duke at Purdue.
Who do you have in that game, Brian?
I like the Boilermakers at home, actually. I think it's going to be a very hostile environment for the Blue Devils to come into, a packed house.
And you know what I say? PU stinks.
Okay, next.
That was a play on words.
We got Clemson against our Illini.
Right.
I'd like to think that our Illini can come out on top.
We will.
Ohio State at Miami. Miami, a top 25 team. They've looked pretty good. Got to watch Ohio State a little bit this weekend. Very good defensive team. But I'm going to go with Miami.
Next game.
Virginia at Minnesota. I like what Tubby's doing with the program. I see the Golden Gophers coming out on top.
Next game.
And Iowa at Boston College. I'll go with the Golden Eagles.
So he's got the Big Ten in all of them but one.
Two. Miami and BC.
Oh, okay.
Keep going.
Who's right, Northwestern playing?
Indiana at Wake Forest. Demon Deacon.
By 50.
That battle. Michigan at Maryland. I'm going to go with the Terps. Florida State at Northwestern. Believe it or not, I'm going to go with the Cats to win that ball game.
Okay, meow.
Penn State at Georgia Tech. I'll go with the Yellow Jacket. And the big headliner being played at Ford Field between North Carolina and Michigan State. Hard to go against the Tar Heels right now.
Ooh.
Playing great basketball.
That sounds like UCLA Houston at the Astrodome. Long, long time ago, 1968, I think. All right, we're going to add them up here. If you're over 500, you'll call in next week.
He's got the ACC winning 6-5. I've got the ACC winning 8-3.
Okay, we got to take our guests from Clemson. Brian, thank you for calling and participating. Call back next week, and we'll talk about the results.
No problem, definitely.
Thank you.
Hey, Tim, welcome. You're on the air with Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. I'm Mr. G, and over on the other side of the table is Boz. Say hello to us, please.
How are we doing today?
We're doing great, Tim. Thanks for hopping on. We got a ball game tomorrow. Two pretty good teams. Actually, you guys are rated ahead of us in the honorable mention category right now. Pack a warm coat and some boots. I believe there's about 4 to 6 inches of snow in Champaign. But tell us a little bit about the Tigers.
We're 7-0 so far. Got a pretty good inside-outside game. You got Trevor Booker, who is our leading scorer at 14 points a game, coming off a 24-point outing in our most recent game. Really a 6'7" guy who can kind of really create his own shot. Really good rebounder, one of the top rebounders in the ACC, top shot blocker in the ACC with 19. They kind of gotten in couple of previous years, but so far this year he's got 19 blocks and just 7 personal fouls in 7 games. So he's off to a good start. And Terrence Oglesby is one of the top 3-point shooters in the ACC, shooting 48% on 3-pointers. And then this is really our top returning scorer from last year. A little bit off to a slow start this year offensively, but still averaging 11 points a game and really has a good all-around game.
How badly do you miss Mays on this year's team?
Well, he was at the point of our press for 4 years, and we have been a team that likes to go with full court pressure. We still do it a little bit, but not quite as much as we had when we had James Mays, who was a very quick 6'9" forward, capable of hitting a little baby jumper now and then too. But what impact he had was defensively, along with a guy named Cliff Hammonds, who was a 4-year starter for us through last year.
And what do you expect from Illinois this year?
Well, I actually saw him play Vanderbilt, and that was a pretty good victory, the 6-point win down there. I was impressed with their, their style of play, kind of a typical Big Ten team in many ways, and Illinois shoots free throws very well. That's where Clemson has improved this year. We're at 68%, up from about 60% over the last couple of years. That was one thing where the seniors we had last year really helped us make a great run to get to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 10 years. But they were not good free throw shooters.
Yeah, our two seniors last year shot about 9% from the line.
Right, I think the Vandy game we were 11 for 11, so that might have been a little skewed, but we are much improved.
By the way, we hit at one point this year, we hit 21 straight free throws over the course of a few games.
It's important in these close games, no doubt about it.
Very important. Illinois had had some close games already. We had a couple beat Charlotte by a point up there in front of a ruckus crowd. It was the first time an ACC team had come to their new home arena, so they were.
And how is Charlotte? Supposed to be a good team this year?
Well, we thought they were, but they're 1-6 so far. They've lost five games already by 5 points or less. So they've lost a lot of close games, including the game to Clemson. But it's going to be real interesting, I think, in this game from a defensive standpoint. Clemson only gives up 37%, 37.7 field goal percentage. Illinois gives up 37.4. I think it's we like to run and get up and down. We average 80 points a game, but going to be interested to see which style dictates in this game.
Yeah, we don't run very much, and I'd like to see a faster tempo game. Bruce plays a pretty disciplined game, although, if you look back to teams that he had that were very, very talented, either at Illinois or at Southern Illinois, he routinely had teams that averaged 80 points a game or better. And it's just, his talent was a little down the last couple of years, and he was forced to play a much more methodical style of play. We're getting better talent at Illinois, and we're starting to push the ball a little bit, and hopefully we'll see a little bit more of that tomorrow night.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Clemson's press. Some games, some teams it's successful against, and I think Illinois has got a pretty young team, so I'm sure we're going to see Clemson press them.
Our guards are we've got a couple senior guards in the starting lineup, so it will be interesting. I think that it'll be a fun pace of game.
Besides Booker, who does Illinois have to focus on to stop us from scoring?
Well, I think everybody has to, when they play us, do a little bit of special on Terrence Oglesby. He's 30 for 62 on three-pointers this year, 48%. He shoots a lot of them, and he shoots them very deep. The three-point line is not a factor for the moving it back a foot. Didn't make any difference to him. So when he's on, it can open up things on the inside for Booker. Now, Casey Rivers has struggled a little bit on threes, just 30%, but he's a 38% three-point shooter for his career. So we do have really two good.
Can Rivers break you down off the dribble?
The guy who can break it down off the dribble for Clemson is DeMontez Stitt, our point guard. He's very good at in that regard. Had a good NCAA tournament game last year.
What kind of assist-to-turnover ratio does this kid have?
He doesn't have a very good assist-to-turnover ratio. He's 16-23. So I say he creates his own shots a lot when he goes into the paint. He's averaging about 9 a game, so... he had some turnover problems early in the year, and the whole team did. We averaged 20 turnovers a game for the first four games, but we've cut it back here recently.
Have teams double-teamed Booker down low?
Some have, and I'm sure we'll see some of that in this game. The teams that have not, he's been pretty successful, scoring on the inside.
So give us a prediction for tomorrow night.
Oh, I don't know. I don't get into predictions. I would say it's going to be a close game. I think it'll be. I'll say this. I think if somebody gets over 72 points, Clemson's going to win. If it's under 72 points, Illinois is going to win.
Sounds reasonable.
Have you ever been to the Assembly Hall?
No, I have not. I've actually never been on Illinois' campus. I went to school at Notre Dame, but I never got down to Illinois'. Campus, and unfortunately, I'm not making this trip because we're naming a head football coach this afternoon. So I got to stay for that press conference.
Oh, you mean Phil Fulmer didn't get the job?
Phil Fulmer did not get the job.
He came out yesterday and he said, "Well, I'd go to a place like Clemson because they love football there." But apparently, your assistant coach is going to take over, who was the acting head coach down the stretch.
Yeah, I think. Fulmer got asked if he would be interested in a place like Clemson, and so he said something complimentary towards the program, and people kind of turned that around. I don't think he was campaigning for the job as much as it made it out to be.
Well, I've gone on record. I think the ACC is going to win this tournament, this series, for the 10th time in a row. I have a feeling that it's going to break down somewhere around 8 victories for the ACC and 3 for the Big Ten. And what I've said is, Midwesterners need to take this thing serious. We need to understand that this is basketball war, and our programs and our coaches and our fans need to treat this with the same level of energy and rivalry as we do some of our Midwestern rivals if we're ever going to get competitive in this series.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is important when you think about, you know, where the image of the leagues at the end of the year when it comes to NCAA tournament bid time. So it can certainly have a factor in that regard. I do know the ACC programs take it seriously. Clemson, I mean, we have not been a very historically strong team in the ACC, but we're 7-2 in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and it's certainly games we look forward to.
Well, Tim, thanks for joining us. You've been our guest on Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. We hope for a great outcome tomorrow night. Well-played game, nonetheless, an Illini victory, and good luck with your new football coach.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tim. Our next guest is Scott Howard, calling in from Athens, Georgia. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great, thank you. Thanks for taking some time. We know you got your own show starting in a few minutes here, but we wanted to get you on. You guys got a ball game tomorrow night at Bowling Green, and we've got Clemson coming into Champaign. Before then, we'll meet up Saturday at the United Center. Right now, you're 5-1. Tell us, how'd you lose to Loyola of Chicago?
That's a good question. That was a head scratcher. It was a tie ball game at halftime, if I recall, and then second half, you know, it was as if we didn't show up, and Loyola took advantage of that, and you know, they had some guys that played pretty strong in the second half. Blount and Sarasoli really kind of took it to us, and Georgia was just, we shot poorly, and we made some turnovers, and I don't know, that one's still kind of sticking in our craw a little bit.
You know, it seemed like when Felton came from Western Kentucky University, there were very high hopes for this coach. He had done a great job with Western Kentucky, and really Georgia seemed poised to make a serious run at becoming a consistently good program. Where have the wheels fallen off for you guys?
Well, you know, they did make the tournament last year because of that fabulous run in the conference tournament, so that was, you know, that was kind of a sigh of relief, I guess, if you want to call it that. But that was a great way to finish, and you know, the Bulldogs had hoped to build some momentum off of that, and they brought in a good recruiting class, and we've had some injuries to a couple of those guys, and one of them really our biggest recruit, Trey Tompkins, biggest in terms of not size but just notoriety and ability to play the game, didn't play until two games ago, so he missed just about all of the off-season workouts this summer. You know, the conditioning program had been a part of maybe about three practices in the preseason, and that's set him back, and it set us back a little bit as well. But we've had some, you know, player defections, some guys that got in trouble off the court, and they had been dismissed. I mean, it's a handful of things.
No, I hear you. And have you ever been to the United Center, by the way?
Yes, we have. We played Southern Illinois and Murray State in the NCAA tournament when Jim Herrick was the head coach here.
I remember that. I think you lost a very tough game to a Bruce Weber coached Southern Illinois team, if my
up by 18 and lost the chance to go to the Sweet 16.
I think that was Bruce's last year at Southern Illinois, if memory serves me correctly.
It won him the job. Scott, tell us a little bit about the ball club we're going to see Saturday at the United Center. I'm looking at the roster. I think you start a 6'11", 6'8", 6'7", front line. What kind of production are you getting from those guys? Are they living up to your standards so far?
Well, Albert Jackson is the 6'11 that you refer to. He started five of the six games. He missed one game because of, again, some injuries early in the season. He actually re-injured an ankle in that Loyola game, didn't play in the second half, and that may have been part of our problem there, because he is a shot blocker inside and can alter an inside game from the opposition. But he's been kind of slow. You know, he's fighting off some injuries. He hasn't really produced a whole lot yet. The biggest producer, I guess you'd have to say, has been Terrence Woodbury as far as scoring is concerned, although He's not a real good shooter. He's under 40% shooting the ball, but he does shoot a lot. Trey Tompkins is the freshman that had injuries and has only played two games, and after two games, he's already averaging 16.5 points. So he's probably going to, provided he stays healthy, he's probably going to be the guy that maintains that scoring edge for Georgia. At least that's who they're going to look to. They've got some other freshmen that are pretty talented. Travis Leslie is a very athletic player, can play well around the basket. At point, we're pretty young. Zach Swansea's a sophomore. He got some playing time behind Sunday out of Gaines, who was our do-everything guy last year, led us in scoring and rebounding and assists and steals and selling Cokes at halftime. Dustin Ware is a freshman, and he's the other point guard right now. So it's a mix. It's a lot of youth. There's only two seniors, and one of those guys is a walk-on who's now on scholarship.
Where are you guys predicted in terms of your league, the SEC, this year?
Well, the media and the coaches, I know the media poll was sixth in the East, so that would be last. which is kind of, that's been the prediction for Georgia for a lot of times. And a lot of times, unfortunately, we've lived up to that. And, Dennis is in his sixth year here and hoping, as I said, to build some momentum off last year's finish, getting into the NCAA tournament for the first time since he's been here. We've been to the NIT a couple of times, and hopefully we get this thing going here pretty soon.
And what are the expectations for the administration? Is there a feeling that if he does not make the tournament this year, that Felton's job is in jeopardy?
Well, I don't know at this point. I mean, that conversation is not ongoing right now. I think most of the Bulldog Nation, if you will, is still trying to get over the football loss to Georgia Tech on Saturday, so that's still fresh in the minds of many. I don't really think a lot of folks are, unfortunately, are even thinking about basketball probably until after the bowl game is done. That's just kind of the way it is down here. But there was that talk last year. We went 4-12 in the league and kind of limped into the conference tournament and then, found some lightning in a bottle and a tornado at the Georgia Dome. And next thing you know, we're tournament champions and going to the NCAA. But that talk had been hot and heavy last year at the end of the season that, unless we did something in the tournament, then that could have been a possibility that, Dennis could have been maybe looking for work.
Coming last in your league and winning a tournament is kind of like what Lee Trevino said about guys who got to make 25-footers on the tour to save par. You're not going to last very long if that's your game.
No, that's true, yeah. You don't want to do that. You don't want to win four games in the regular season, then have to put yourself in that kind of a corner to fight your way into a postseason tournament. And we lost a lot of close games last year, and for whatever reason, we just couldn't get over the top and couldn't find that consistency to win. So, hopefully that changes here pretty soon. It's a good recruiting class this year. It is young. It's a young team, and we'll see if they start to mix well together here shortly.
Well, thanks, Scott. It's been a pleasure having you on Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. We'll look for you on Saturday. Good luck in the game, and we'll see you soon.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. You can call us at 888-463-6748 or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We'll be back in a moment after these words from our sponsors.
Don't put off the things you should do today. Start a financial plan with AXA Advisors. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning SunTracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the SunTracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. SunTracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
If you're looking for world-class website hosting at a fair price, Pear Networks is your best choice. Whether you're a professional web designer or a beginner just getting your site online, Pear Networks has a web hosting plan that's right for you. Log on and learn more at Pear.com. That's P-A-I-R.com. Pear Networks, world-class web hosting at a fair price. Visit us at Pear.com. Pear Networks.
Registering a domain name on the web? You should know about Pernik. Pernik offers .com names at a great price with quality service you expect. Because Pernik is powered by internet leader Pear Networks. Whether you need a domain name for business or personal use, Pernik is your best choice. Remember Pernik when you need a domain name. That's P-A-I-R-N-I-C.com. Pernik.